Call the September 20th Plan Commission meeting in order. Mr. Deedle, please call the roll.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Burkhart?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
City Engineer Morrow?
Here.
Alderman Dandrea?
Here.
And Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B1 is approval of the regular meeting minutes of September 6th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C1, we have one public hearing notice, one public hearing tonight. It's proposed project plan boundaries and creation of a tax incremental district number 6 for the city of Franklin. Ms. Berg.
Thank you. Notice of public hearing and joint review board meeting regarding the proposed creation of tax incremental district number 6 in the city of Franklin, Wisconsin. Notice is hereby given that the City of Franklin will hold an organizational joint review board meeting on September 20th, 2018 at 9 a.m. at the Franklin City Hall, located at 9229 West Loomis Road. The purpose of this meeting is to organize a joint review board for purposes of considering the proposed creation of and proposed project plan for Tax Incremental District Number 6, the District. Notice is hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing on September 20th, 2018 at 7 p.m. in the Franklin City Hall, located at 9229 West Loomis Road, for the purpose of providing the community a reasonable opportunity to comment upon the proposed creation of the project plan for the district. The proposed boundaries of the district would be within an area generally detailed on the map as described in the public hearing notice. The district is expected to be a mixed-use district based on the identification and classification of the property proposed to be included within the district. Proposed project costs include various public improvements and cash grants to owners or lessees or developers of land located within the district, development incentives, and professional and organizational services, administrative costs, and finance costs. The proposed costs include projects within the proposed boundary and within a 1/2 mile radius of the proposed boundary of the district. All interested parties will be given a reasonable opportunity to express their views on the proposed creation of the district, the proposed boundaries of the district, and the proposed project plan thereof. A copy of the project plan, including a description of the proposed boundaries, will be available for viewing in the offices of the City Clerk at the Franklin City Hall, located at 9229 West Loomis Road, during normal business hours, and will be provided upon request. Such hearings shall be public, and citizens and interested parties shall then be heard. This hearing may be adjourned from time to time. By order of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, published September 5th, 2018, and September 12th, 2018.
It appears we have a properly noticed public hearing. Kelly, can we put up the map, the image of the district, proposed district? Do you have that?
We can do that with the camera.
All right. I don't think Glenn needs.
Actually, I can do it. Just give me a minute.
Okay. Mr. Deedle.
No, I can't. Actually, you can give an additional brief
introduction
while I look for the map.
Ms. Berg.
Actually, let me give a brief introduction because I would like to hand this over to Dawn Gunderson with Ehlers, who can give a much more detailed analysis of the project plan and the financial analysis. And while she's doing that, I'll bring the map up so we can all look at what we're talking about at the same time. So let me briefly describe what we're doing this evening. We also have in the audience representatives from Bear Development, and we are looking to create TID number 6 in the city of Franklin, and we'll bring up that boundary map momentarily. It's roughly 145 acres. It's bounded by 112th Street to the east. Portions approach Oakwood Road to the south, 124th to the west, and a little bit over Ryan Road to the north. This is roughly in the area of Loomis and Ryan Road. So we are here this evening to review the analysis of the TID, and I'm going to pass this off to Dawn for more detailed information, and I will bring that map up.
Do two clicks on the plus there, children. Yep. Over. Yep. Maybe one click. There you go. And scroll down a bit. There you go. Beautiful. Thank you. Ms. Gunderson, for the record, let's do the name and address thing.
Dawn Gunderson, I'm Senior Municipal Advisor with Ehlers. Do you really want my address? Oh, gosh. Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I don't know the street numbers in the oh.
They're too long anyway.
I don't memorize it. Thank you. I'm here to this evening to talk a little bit about the project plan that's been developed for tax increment district number 6. Following this public hearing, you'll be asked to consider a resolution. That resolution will approve the boundaries of the district and also adopt the project plan. As was mentioned this morning at 9 o'clock, there was an organizational meeting of the overlapping taxing entities. And then this evening is the public hearing as part of the process for creation of a district, followed by consideration by the Plan Commission. If there's a favorable action on the resolution this evening, it will move on then to the Common Council scheduled for the 16th of October, excuse me, thank you. And then the Joint Review Board did schedule their final meeting, it requires action by them as well, on November 1st at 9 o'clock. The project plan is a document that is required to be put into place to provide the financing tool or economic development tool to provide any assistance towards projects within a defined area. So as part of this project plan, the area that's being defined as referred to as the district, tax increment district, is what's identified on the map before you, as well as on page 8 of the project plan, for those of you that have copies of that in front of you. This district, as mentioned, is being created as a mixed-use district, meaning that at least two of three purposes of redevelopment will be identified in the area, and the plan that's been provided before you actually accomplishes all three of those: industrial development, commercial development, and residential development. As far as a mixed-use district is concerned, there are some statutory findings that must be met to create a district as well as to create this type of a district, and one of those is that it has two of three purposes for redevelopment, and we've ascertained that. And that the area is full and complete parcels as it is, and that by creating this district, the value of this district plus all your other taxing increment districts does not exceed 12% of the community's equalized value. And there's a document in this schedule, this report, that demonstrates that as well. The other component that's required in a mixed-use district, if there's a residential development and any dollars are going to that residential development, there is a limitation that no more than 35% of the area can be defined for that, and it has to meet a density test of at least 3 units per acre. We've done that test, and the finding is that about newly platted residential were at about 22.5%, so we're within the requirement for doing it that as well. Part of the analysis that's done for creating the district is the determination of the ability to finance it. The other component is that as you develop a plan, you'll be considering this as well as the overlapping taxing entities, that but for the assistance of through the tax increment district, the development would not occur either as proposed within the timeline as proposed or the specification that the city is expecting. Now, we have noted that there may be an independent review of the developer sources and uses to demonstrate that the amount of and level of assistance does not exceed a reasonable return for that development, but that is, I don't believe, has been undertaken at this point in time. So the parts that I want to actually walk through in terms of the project plan itself, there is a map on page 17 that identifies the proposed development site once it's developed. It's the same boundaries as you're seeing on the map there. I don't know if you want to scroll down that one. So as what's being proposed, there's a component of industrial on the west side of the property. There's the residential is on the east side in kind of the yellow, and then the remaining is a mix of commercial and industrial development in the other areas as well. That's what's being proposed at this point. Keeping in mind that if you consider and adopt this plan, it's a plan at this point. It puts the tool in place, but there will be a developer's agreement that will be required to be executed, provide any direct incentive to the developer, and that I don't believe is as complete for the attorney. So that will be done, and there will be further action by the governing bodies to adopt that development agreement and provide for the assistance. But as we've run our analysis at this point, on page 20 of the document is a listing of the anticipated project costs that will be undertaken to promote and encourage and make this development happen. So what we're looking at here is there's some land acquisition, utility extension. Like there's a major cost to extend the utilities to the site, some public road improvements, some infrastructure required on the interior portion, some direct development incentives to support the project. There's ongoing administrative and creation cost, initial creation cost and ongoing administration that are eligible project expenditures. And there's the financing and interest cost on any borrowing that's done by the city. And if there's any interest paid on the contribution to the development. So as we walk through this, then on page 23, it's proposed at this point that some of the project costs will be supported with borrowings done by the city. At this point, we've identified one as, so that's on page 23 of the plan. There's general obligation financing, both in a taxable and a tax exempt. The city does reserve the right to finance this in an alternative method. We've identified what those are. You can have your utility issue debt, you can do special assessment B bonds, and pay-as-you-go financing. But we do have a component that we refer to as a municipal revenue obligation, which is basically a payment as the increment is collected that gets paid back to the developer. And so the developer raises the financing up front and recovers those costs after the fact. So there's some reimbursement relative to that, and if there's any direct development associated with that. So we've identified those three types of financing for this, and then the cash flow as we go through the life and the implementation of the project plan would pay for the interest expense on any borrowing as well as any administrative costs, and we'll show that in the cash flow that's projected. So on 24, the plan is the projection for the development of that site as illustrated on that map. It's just shy of $64 million is the projected value that would be created once these project costs are undertaken. There's about $20 million for a larger industrial user, some lighter industrial and commercial, about $13.5 million. The single family homes, roughly $30.4 million, and creating our total of about $64 million in value. With the larger industrial user and the residential development being the first two to take place. With tax increment financing, when something's constructed in 1 year, it's 2 years later before you start collecting the revenue on that. So it first becomes assessable. Anything that is built in 19 becomes assessable in 2020, and the first year that the city will receive the dollars from that growth will be in 2021. So the next page in the plan is the forecasting of that tax revenue stream. So if you look at that top line, that's the value that we had represented on the previous page in 2019. And in 2021, then, will be the first year that there will be dollars collected in the taxes. And it'll be those tax revenue dollars that pay for any project cost. We've been somewhat conservative on our assumptions here. We're assuming only a 1% appreciation on any new development. And we actually are dropping the tax rate by 1% annually as well. As you have growth in the community, that can drive your tax rate down. So we try to incorporate a little bit of that into the forecasting model. And then at the end, we pull all those pieces together. So on page 26 of this document, and it'll be too large for the screen and stretched out, but it's a large pull-up page. Well, maybe it's not in the document. It's probably little print. But there, the way this schedule, and I apologize if the print is small and you can't see all the numbers, but on the left-hand side, we bring in that tax revenue that we projected on the for increment taxes from the previous page. Beginning in 2021, we'll begin the cash flow. There's some interest earnings on fund balance. We're anticipating doing the borrowing, and so we, because of that lag in timing of the revenue, we will capitalize or borrow some of the first interest payments. So we've reflected that as revenue as well. And then the next several columns following the revenues are the financing components. We have a general obligation bond, both a tax-exempt and a taxable. We've estimated interest rates at this time. Those would be locked in if the if and when the city undertakes those debt issuances. And then those would be where the first priority for any tax dollars would be available to pay the debt service that the city undertakes. And if there's funds remaining, then this municipal revenue obligation or the PAYGO, where the developer raises the capital up front, receives this at, after the city's debt is retired. We've got it structured here. It's under several columns in the middle of the schedule. We've estimated a 4.75 interest rate for this that would help cover the carrying cost for the developer. For the first few years, there would be no revenue available to pay any of that interest, but the interest is basically being paid at the back end of the structure. So if you see, I've got, there's a little asterisk going down, so the first year that the interest would be able to be paid would be in 2026, following up the time most of the development is placed. Start paying that interest, and then there's no principal on this being paid back to the developer until all the city's debt is retired. So the city's obligations are met first, and then the developer will receive funds following that. And those dollars would be paid out, and it's the initial obligation would be about $3.5 million. Then with that interest tacked on at the back end, it's about 4.9, so the developer would recover that any unpaid interest and its principal. And it's still forecasted that the district would then be able to retire all of the city's obligations and any contributions to the developer by 2037, which is about 4 years or earlier than the future revenue to the tax increment district. The remaining documents and sections of this are required by statute. I'm happy to answer any questions or anything else within the component of the plan, but the highlights are and probably the most important things to benefit the city are the financial and the cash flow ability of the district. So, again, I'm happy to answer any questions, and I don't know if there are any comments on the development itself.
This is a public hearing. I'll open the public hearing on this matter. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this matter? Ma'am, please come forward. Give us your name and address for the record. Thank you. And welcome.
Hi. Debbie Ulrich, 7388 Chandler Court. When I hear the millions of dollars going into this, I'm sure it's a done deal. But I drive down 112th Street. I have been for many years. And I see a pair of cranes that come back year after year. We have the babies. I see a coyote trying to get them. I see deer. I see rabbits. I see turkey vultures. I see everything. And I'm a lifelong resident of Franklin. And this kind of development just really hurts that we can't stop at some point and say people might have moved here because there were natural things and animals. Where are all these animals going to go? These cranes made for life. And they come back year after year after year. And I just think there's too much development and not enough worry about these animals. I mean, everyone's complaining. A coyote ate one of my dogs a couple of years ago. Or it didn't eat it, it just killed it. And I can't even blame the coyote. It has nowhere to go anymore. And, you know, I see deer laying on the side of the road all the time. And it just, I've lived in my house 20-some years, and I grew up on Rhine Road. And I know things have to progress and change, but there also should be some concern about wildlife. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ulrich. Anyone else? Anyone else wishing to speak? Seeing no one else rise, I will close the public hearing on this matter. Questions from the commission for Ms. Gunderson or Ms. Burke? Ms. Burke. Questions? Commissioner Burkhardt.
One quick question. You mentioned a density limit on the residential. Do you know what the density as planned for the residential portion of the development is?
It's the at least 3 units an acre, so that means the lots would generally be one-third acre lots.
Understood, but is that what it's planned at, is one-third acre lots? Roughly?
Yeah, roughly, yeah. It would have to be within the area. It would have to, on average, be a... So I don't know if all the lots would be that, but on average, it has to be meet that density.
I guess I would just bring up that that's, if you count the lots, I think it counted 76. It was 75 in the plan. That is a $400,000 per lot approximate value, which I guess is worth noting. It's about $120,000 more than the average lot worth in Franklin.
Now, I will answer Ms. Ulrich's question. This entire area is going to be left, well, somewhat natural. No building in it, whatever. Some of it will be used for a future wetland, but this will all be open land. And then up here, we're planning on a park for the neighborhood. So that'll be separate and apart from the open space. Okay, any other questions for staff? Seeing none, without objection, we'll move on to the action item. First on the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt a resolution designating proposed boundaries and approving a project plan for tax incremental district number 6 for the city of Franklin, Wisconsin?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Vote was 5-0, unanimous. 4-0, and the chairman did not vote. Is that better? Okay, we move on to business matters. These are not public hearings. These are strictly business matters. Item D1 is a proposal from the Friends of Weir Nature Center for driveway replacement and building addition. Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. Noted in the packet materials, this is the Weir Nature Center existing building. They want to do 2 small additions to the building now and then 1 small addition to the building later. Also on the north side of the building where an existing driveway is, they do want to move it. So there will be some additional work on that side as well. There are natural resources on the property, obviously. And they did do the best available method of mapping those natural resources. So it is approximate delineations. Based on that information, it appears that for the entire property, they're still underneath or lower than the 30% woodland removal. It doesn't appear that they're impacting any wetlands or other resources. So the only staff is recommending approval with only 1 condition, in that the last building addition on the building that they're proposing in the future would be able to be reviewed and approved by staff as a minor site plan amendment.
Okay. Questions from the staff, and the applicant does have their architect here. Commissioner Moore, city engineer.
First of all, I've been to the Nature Center, and it's a nice facility. Last time I was there, I learned a lot about bats. I'll be sharing some of that this coming week with 120 kids or so. About 2 years ago, city joined with Hales Corners to redo College Avenue, And we had folks from the Milwaukee County and Weir Nature Center come out and really, I don't want to say stop the project, but really try to emphasize how valuable the resources were. So as I understand from staff, and some of this has probably been exaggerated, about 30 feet away there was a wetland. There's some freshwater shrimp. There's some spider issues. There's some turtle issues. And all we were doing was redoing the road, pulverized it, and we added about a foot shoulder on each side to protect the shoulders of the road and give someone a safe place to stand. And we also had a little bit of curbing so we could actually improve the drainage through there. So that shut us down for a day because we were told how precious all the resources were. So I guess when you say best available, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. And perhaps maybe they really should look at, have an expert look at the resources and how it might be impacted.
I believe they only used whatever information was already available, so DNR mapping, sewer pack mapping, that kind of stuff. I do not believe they used any field verified information.